My name is Adam Poskanzer, and I am the co-president for Hillel of Buffalo. Today, we'll get to know Rabbi Shai Mintz. Rabbi Mintz is a very special part of Hillel of Buffalo's history. He is a former executive director of Hillel and still runs Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services for us. Incidentally, Rabbi Mintz is also the winner of the International Moses Lookalike Contest. The interview was conducted by Scott Herman, the executive producer of Hillel Pod.
Okay, so welcome, Rabbi Mintz.
Thank you for having me, as they say.
So I think every Jew in Buffalo knows you. You're quite the icon in Buffalo. I know you know every Jew in Buffalo. I've always been very fascinated with your ability to trace the lineage of any Jew just by hearing their name. But many people really don't know a lot about you. So let's get to know the real Rabbi Mintz. Where were you born? Let's start with the David Copperfield way of doing things.
Well, let's start from the icon and so on and so forth. I came to Buffalo 39 years ago as a educational director of Temple Shari Tzedek at the time. The rabbi was a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Isaac Klein, and we hit it very well together, and I was at Temple Shari Tzedek for 13 years. I was born in Israel, and I came to this country in 1965 to South Bend, Indiana.
How old were you?
I was 29 years young. And I came to have a dual position, one as a principal of the community Hebrew school, South Bend, even though it's a small community, but it was a very active community. And I liked the fact that it was about an hour and a half or so from Chicago, of which I definitely heard, not even about El Capone, but about Chicago as a large city. And what developed a very short while after I came, Father Hasberg, president of Notre Dame University, asked me to, he wants to establish a Jewish studies program, although at the time, in 1965-66, we didn't call it the Jewish studies program, but he wanted to make sure that the priests, the sisters, the brothers, the whole family, so to speak, had an exposure to Jewish studies, Judaic studies. And I was the it, and it was a wonderful run of about 4 years. I really was excited about it, and I tend to believe so were they.
So you were a rabbi when you came to the
United States?
Okay.
Yes.
So you became a rabbi when you were in Israel.
I went to two yeshivot and served in the army as a chaplain. And from the Sinai campaign on for 3 years. Sinai campaign, if you know, was fought in October and toward the end of October 1956. And I served in the army for 3 years. Was discharged as a lieutenant, and it was a wonderful experience for me. I got to meet many, many olim, many newcomers, and welcomed them to the army and was kind of their advisor, if you will.
Hmm. So I understand that your father was quite famous. Tell me about him.
My father was famous. He was active and in several areas. He was a leader of a religious workers organization, party. The party, the Workers Party of Agudat Israel, an Orthodox party, but with an outlook of very much Zionistic outlook. And even though he wasn't thought of as a Zionist, he was a Zionist. He and my mother came to Palestine in 1925. My sister and I were born already in Palestine, in pre-state Palestine. And my father became active as a journalist. He always told me that this is what his profession is, a journalist. And he had a wonderful pen. He wrote thousands, literally thousands of articles on a variety of subjects. He published books. He became very, very famous in Palestine as an active leader toward the survivors of the Holocaust.
What was his name?
Benjamin Mintz. And he warned me from becoming a rabbi of a congregation. Education, yes, but having the yoke of a congregational rabbi, he advised me against it.
So that's why you never did the whole synagogue congregational rabbi thing?
No.
Probably a wise move.
Probably a wise move. But he became very, very active in saving Jews from Europe, even as the war was going on. He also was very active in making sure that the Jewish community in Palestine knew what's going on in Europe. Remember that a lot of it was censored, and the British really didn't want to publicize what's going on, especially in regard to killing of Jews in concentration camps, in the crematoria, and so on and so forth. So as the years went closer and closer to 1948, he was active in a small circle of people that David Ben-Gurion, the first premier of Israel, and the one who declared the state on May 14th, 1948, he surrounded himself with a very small group, and my father was one of them. And he became a member of the provisionary Knesset, or the parliament, and later on became a member of the Knesset. And he was a vice speaker from the second Knesset until he became a member of the cabinet in 1960. He passed away in 1961 prematurely, at the age of 58,
too young.
Much too young. So that's, and I just finished writing a bio about him, of course, and with the help of Professor Chaim Shalem, who is a historian in Israel, and he did the historical research, and the foundation, our foundation in Buffalo, is active in the publishing side of the effort.
So it's not published yet.
Not published yet, but it's written, and it's in the hands of editors as we speak.
Is that going to be something for sale, or is that?
It will be for sale. It will be as soon as we have agreed upon edited version of the manuscript, which right now, as it stands, 427 pages. Plus about 100 pages of pictures, it will be translated, and I have a translator in Israel standing by. It will be translated and published in English in the United States.
That's great. We'll have to mention it when it comes out.
Yeah.
See if we can get some sales for you.
That's right.
So, what year did you become a rabbi for Hillel, or become the director of Hillel, really?
I became the director / rabbi in 1986 on a very part-time. I didn't really know what Hillel was all about. Hillel needed a director and a rabbi, and I agreed to be one for the time being, but I got hooked. I believe 2 weeks or 10 days after I started, and I love to work with the students, and that was the beginning of a wonderful relationship, which lasted until about 2000, about 13 years. Yeah.
So you're still doing High Holiday services.
I'm doing High Holiday service. I conduct the services with the help of Arthur Pressman, who is really he's a lawyer in Buffalo, and he helps out. And you come to help out with the blowing of the shofar. It is a good service, and I'm happy. It's the relationship between myself and Hillel is that I'm no longer the director, which is terrific because it was a lot of work. I wonder myself, how did I do it? Teach a class in history twice a week and be the director and teach a class at Hillel for the portion of the week. And how did I do it? I don't know, but it was done. And now my relationship is limited to one of campus rabbi, whatever that means. And here and there, I find myself involved in effort that right now, Joe Davis, the director, is thinking of and initiating and so on.
So, okay, as a rabbi, first of all, I love your services. When we did Friday night services, when I was involved with Hillel back in the 1990s, I looked forward to it every week, and your Rosh Hashanah services, I've never seen anyone daven like you. So if you haven't seen it, if you're out there listening and you haven't seen Rabbi Mintz daven, come next year to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur services, and you'll get a special treat. So as a rabbi, you defy classification. You use a lot of Hebrew in your services, which are for the most part conservative, but you're very egalitarian. How would you classify yourself?
Well, I'm Jewish, and I don't say that lightly, and it's not glib. I hate classification because there is a lot of good in different aspects of being a rabbi. My upbringing, my education was Orthodox. However, in the United States, you have to be, especially at Hillel, you have to be a rabbi for all seasons and without compromising your principles. And I was very lucky to be able to do that. For instance, I don't drive on Shabbat or holidays, and I walked even from Hillel, the old building, if you remember, on Capon Boulevard, and the old-timers, and you're already an old-timer. But the old-timers will remember the Hillel house on Capon, which Rabbi Justin Hoffman was rabbi, and subsequent rabbis like Rabbi Shabtai Wolf and Rabbi Golomb, and finally myself. We walked home from there. It was 3.5 miles, even on snowy evenings.
So you're quite dedicated.
Which was a very, very nice walk. And so without compromising principles, you can and you should be a rabbi to involve and to attract other students who are not brought up in a Orthodox or Reform or Conservative or Reconstructionist. But the students, and that was my philosophy all along, that the students should find the services on Friday night or on holidays attractive enough to be wanting to come and participate.
I attribute the fact that I found a joy in Judaism to you, really, to your teachings and your services. Really, I've never found anything like it since I was involved with Hillel. It's a shame. I think that it would be nice if there were more services that were just plain Jewish and egalitarian. And that's my own personal opinion, but I'm not here to talk about me.
Yeah.
So, how did you meet your wife, Lila?
Well, in South Bend, I was in South Bend, as I said, I came in 1965. Lila was unfortunately a widow with three children as a result of a car accident. She lost her husband and her firstborn son. And one thing led to another, and before we knew it, 4 years later, we were married. And a short time, a half year later, the call came from Rabbi Klein. He was looking for an educational director in Buffalo. I really didn't want to leave. I had a very good position in the community and at Notre Dame, and I really loved it. But I came for a visit, and I fell in love with Rabbi Klein. And the rest, as they say, is history. And I was very lucky during the 13 years of my being the educational director of Temple Shaar HaTzedek that I established a school for junior high, both from Shaar HaTzedek, Temple Beth El, which was another conservative congregation, and even Reconstructionist congregation Temple Sinai. And the United Junior High was active for 10 years until I left my position. And many, many, many students went through my hands through this school, through Shaar HaTzedek, through Camp Lakeland and Centerland. I used to come out as a rabbi in residence for a week here and over a day or two in at Centerland, which was just a day camp. And so I was very lucky, and I really became involved in the community itself. I realized that you have to be involved in the community. You cannot just say, well, I am with and be happy with that. I was sitting on many, many boards of agencies of the foundation, of the federation, the local federation. And it helped me later on when I became the Rabbi Hillel director in 1986. It helped me a lot because the funding, the major part of the funding for Hillel's activities came from the foundation, from the federation's drive. And so the allocation was above and beyond anybody's imagination. But
the Federation still gives quite a bit, but
yes,
not as much as they used to.
No, correct. But hopefully, when they see that the activities are back to what they used to be and involving many students like they do now, we have, I understand, many, many students on Friday night under the directorship of Joe Davis.
Yeah, I would say that things are really hopping with Hillel this year. And last year and this year have been the best years of Hillel since you left, really.
Yeah.
And Joe's really taking the ball and run with it. So I'm hoping that people see that and feel the need to donate to see their kids taken care of. And, really, they're all of our kids, if you think of a community.
I think we are lucky, Scott, that the community, through the Federation drive, through the campaign and the allocation, but the community itself, as a community, responds very favorably and very warmly to our request for donations. High Holidays is another major part of funding. So there are the wonderful commitments from the local community toward Hillel and toward the students, whether they are local students or they come from Long Island or other parts of New York State. It's to be admired.
I would say that Hillel and Chabad and other Jewish college programs are really our last chance to catch the Jewish kids before they go out and become Jewish adults and part of our congregations and part of the Jewish society. And
that's why it's so important.
That's why it's so important. That's why I'm here doing this.
Yes.
So I guess you spend at least half the year in Israel now.
Yes.
Why did you decide to go back to Israel? Did you want to go home?
It is in part going home, not only for me, but for Lila as well. We bought an apartment about 20 years ago, and it was rented until I was ready to, until I paid up the loans that I took, and I retired from the directorship and from teaching my courses at UB, and I like it. We are snowbirds east and not south. And to us, to go to Israel is a much more interesting endeavor than going to Florida.
So being in Israel doesn't scare you at all with all the war and things that go on there?
Not at all. And I will say to anybody who listens, please don't be scared. As you know, I took several times groups of students from Buffalo to Israel, and if, God forbid, there is some activity which the army does not think that people should be around that particular place, our bus was diverted left or right or simply turned around. Yeah. So there is somebody who pays attention to the situation. Thank God we have a good army and we have good leaders, in spite of the fact that there is a lot of pressure on the leaders of Israel from many, many points of view. But I like it. I get to see people who come to Israel during the time of our stay in Israel, and it gives me a pleasure to either drive around with them or take them on a day in Jerusalem, or take them on a day to an archaeological dig, just to spend time with them, because I feel very close to my former students, and maybe it's me, maybe it's them, maybe it's both, but it's like my children come to visit.
We got to get you on Facebook. I started an alumni group for Hillel members, and there's like 45 people on there now, so we should get you on Facebook.
There should be many more of those, because we had literally hundreds of students over the years, and I even befriended alumni from before I became Hillel director and rabbi. There was a time that almost every Jew in Buffalo attended UB, which was named favorably Juby. And all these people are alumni. And we should really befriend them, and we should really explain to them what Hillel does. And things haven't changed much since the time they have been at school.
Living in Israel, you know, under the constant threat of war, do you think that peace with the Palestinians is possible?
Well, without insulting anyone, let me say first that peace is necessary. An arrangement is necessary. An agreement is necessary. It's vital. Israel cannot live under this constant threat. I'll give you an example. There used to be a time, just a few years ago, that suicide bombers were a daily matter. Not too far from us, a bus was bombed in the middle of the street. 18 people died. We have too many places in Jerusalem itself where you find on the corner or on the side a plaque, here died X number of students, so here died a few, how many people died on the bus or in the bus stop, and so on and so forth. Israel initiated building a fence separating the Palestinian Authority areas from proper Israel. The opposition was unbelievable to this day. I can tell you unequivocally that the suicide bombers' attacks subsided to almost zero, simply barring them from crossing the street, so to speak, with bombs on themselves and killing themselves in the most populated areas. So inasmuch as the fence is not nice Well, in as much as the fence is not necessary for some people, it was a life support and a lifesaver for Israel. So that's one example. There are between 300,000 and 400,000 Israelis living in Judea and Samaria, which some people call the West Bank, and some people call the territories. People forget that there was a war, and it was a life or death war, with Gamal Abdel Nasser as president of Egypt directing the show, wanting to obliterate Israel altogether. And there was a war, and what can I tell you? We don't want to apologize, but we won the war, in spite of many, many odds that we will not. And it was very close to it. And part of winning the war was the reunification of Jerusalem, gaining the role in Judea and Samaria, the Golan height. It's not heights, it's the Golan height from Syria. And now, 42 years later, you have many Arabs who say, well, let's forget, let's bygones be bygones, and let's forget it, and let's make sure that the 67 green line, so to speak, is a very good line of border between Israel and Palestine. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. I think that Israel, anybody who comes to Israel must be astounded that a state was built, a country was built with highways, with infrastructure, with high tech, with everything that you find in the most advanced countries in the West. And how much money is devoted to safety, to security, to the army. If a tenth of that money would have been directed to other causes, it would have been remarkable. So whether there will be peace in the future, our sages say that since the temple was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, anyone who predicts or tries to predict is either a fool or a liar. I am neither, and I don't want to be a fool or a liar. I can say that many people hope that there will be peace and there will be an arrangement. Is it needed? Yes. Will it come? Yes. When? We don't know. I can tell you that by putting pressure on Israel to do A, B, C, or D, or rather not to do E, F, G, nothing will be accomplished, because we are known to be a nation of stubborn people. And it will be just like you force a mule to do what you want, the mule will do what it wants.
I'd like to thank you for coming by and doing an interview. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I would like to add that people like you and many other alumni made my work remarkably sweet, and with many of them I still have a relationship, and hopefully it will benefit as the fact that you are sitting on the board today. It will affect Hillel's job in the near future and in the far future.
Well, thank you very much for coming by. And
thank you for having me.
When are you leaving to go back to Israel?
God willing, in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, we'll miss you.
Well, we'll miss you. We'll think of you from the heights of Zion and Jerusalem.
Have a nice trip, and thanks for coming to the interview.
Thank you.
Each week, Hillel offers something for just about every day. Mondays, students can stop by the Hillel Lounge at any time and pick at leftovers from Friday night's dinner. Tuesdays are Tasty Tuesdays. Stop by for a wide selection of hot drinks and cookies. Each Wednesday is Schmusenschmier. Come get your fresh bagels and cream cheese. Thursdays, meet your friends down at Bert's New York Deli and Diner. in Talbert Hall from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Mention you are a Hillel member and get 10% off. Friday evenings, Hillel offers a service and dinner at Pistachio's starting at 5 p.m. Find out more details at www.hillelofbuffalo.org. A quick mention of some upcoming special events. This Sunday, October 25th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Hillel will be going up to Niagara-on-the-Lake for a series of wine tours. You must be at least 19 years of age and have a valid passport. The cost is $30 per person. This includes bus transportation and tours of three wineries. Sign up in the Hillel Lounge. Sunday, November 1st at 7 p.m., the Sextet Mixes Klezmer Band will be playing in the UB Student Union Theater on North Campus. On Monday, November 2nd, at 7:30 p.m., F.E.E. Tom will be speaking at Pistachios. F.E.E. Tom is an Israeli war hero and a former Knesset member. This event is free to all. Find out more details at Hillel's website, www.hillelofbuffalo.org. Hillel survives and thrives on donations. If you would like to support Hillel of Buffalo, please go to hillelpod.com and click the Make a Donation link. We would like to say thank you to Hadag Nachash for the use of their song, California. If you would like to hear more music by Hadag Nachash, please visit the featured music page on hillelpod.com. We're looking for more Jewish artists to feature on Hillelpod. So, if you are a musician or know of a musician that would like to be featured on Hillelpod, please send us an email at podeditor@hillelpod.com. Hillelpod is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Or in English, you can copy this file and send it to anyone you like. Just don't sell it or change it. So until next time, Lahitra.